This is your Sound Off Extra review for Night 2 of Wrestle Kingdom 15 at the Tokyo Dome. I am the Solemn Monster. Night 1 was headlined by an excellent main event between Kota Ibushi and Tetsuya Naito, where Ibushi won double gold, avenging his loss to Okada at last year's Wrestle Kingdom. Night 1 had two excellent matches, Okada against Will Ospreay being the other. Night 2 delivered three excellent matches in Shingo against Jeff Cobb, Hiromu against Ishimori, and Ibushi against Jay White. Even though it dragged a little bit in the middle, it could have been, I think, 10 to 12 minutes shorter. It was the longest match in Tokyo Dome history, but even still, I wouldn't say I was really ever bored during the match. I just think they could have tightened it up a little bit. It didn't have to go 48 minutes. But even still, I give the edge to Night 2 over Night 1. I just think you had that one extra really great match. I would give the edge to Night 2. If you missed my Night 1 review, it's up on the feed right now. So you can go back, you can hit pause on this one, go back and check out the first one. They announced a crowd of 12,689 for Night 1, down to 7,801 for Night 2. So a combined 20,000 for both nights, as compared to 70,000 last year between Nights 1 and 2. That is what you call the COVID effect. But even the fact they were able to get 12,000 one night, 7,000 the other, probably still the biggest shows that I think that I've seen since the start of the pandemic, wrestling shows anyway, that have had the most number of people in the building. Night 2 opened with Chase Owens, Bushi, Bad Luck Fale, and Toru Yano to crown the first King of Pro Wrestling Provisional Champion for 2021. Those were the four names left in the Night 1 Rambo. They moved on to Night 2. Yano beat Fale in a body slam match last month to end last year as the King of Pro Wrestling Champion, and he will begin the new year as the champion. This was a lot of comedy. Late in the match, Owens covered Ibushi, or I should say Bushi. Now, Ibushi did not pull double duty on this show. He pulled double duty between the two nights, but not on this show. Owens covered Bushi, who kicked out. Fale then covered Bushi, and Owens broke it up. So the two of them start bickering, because they both want to win. And the referee is trying to get between them, and they both look at the referee, and they pick him up. And as they're holding the referee up, Yano sneaks in. He low blows Fale and Owens, and then covers Bushi himself for the win. So, you know, I was thinking about this. I'm watching this and all the comedy stuff, and I'm a Yano guy. I know not everybody is into his comedy, but I like Yano. One day, somewhere, somehow, I would like to see R-Truth and Yano do something together. It doesn't even have to be a match. Just interact with each other. I feel like that would be comedy done the right way. We had Desperado and Kanemaru defending the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team titles against Master Wato and Ryusuke Taguchi. I enjoyed watching Wato more than I did the great Okan. I can tell you that. Even though Wato did not have, I wouldn't say, the best night in his Dome debut. But you can see the potential in this guy. Kanemaru jumped in with a whiskey bottle that he had brought to the ring with him. I'm glad they told us that it was a whiskey bottle, or a bottle of whiskey, because at first, as he's coming down to the ring, I'm asking myself, did this guy take a urine sample, and why is he carrying a bottle of piss to the ring with him? That's what it looked like. Either that or apple juice. Taguchi threw Desperado into Kanemaru, and with the referee distracted by the Kanemaru interference, Desperado used a closed fist, hit his finish, and pinned Taguchi to retain the titles. Solid middle of the card tag team match, nothing more, nothing less. And we got to the good stuff. Shingo Takagi defending the never open weight title against Jeff Cobb. The never open weight title has changed hands all but 1 year that it has been defended at the Tokyo Dome. The 1 year it did not change hands was 8 years ago. The loser of that match was a member of the Hurt Business, Shelton Benjamin, who lost to Masato Tanaka. This was the first singles matches in the Tokyo Dome for both these guys. This was a war. This was the best Jeff Cobb match of his New Japan run that I've seen. Honestly, the best Jeff Cobb match I think that maybe I've ever seen. This was great. It's a great match. I would say, I was leaning towards maybe my favorite of the night. I'm going to go second best match on night two. Just barely behind the main event. But it's close. Cobb set up for the tour of the islands. Shingo blocked, hit a Death Valley driver. And followed that up with a corner lariat and a superplex. Cobb hit a German in a tour of the islands, but sold his knee when he came down on the landing. Shingo then got his foot on the ropes as Cobb made the cover a little too late. So Shingo just got out of it. So Cobb teased a tour of the islands from the top rope. Shingo slid out, hit a powerbomb. Cobb hit a lariat, moonsault power slam. Shingo hit a pumping bomber, but Cobb did not go down. So he had two more lariats and a couple of headbutts, and still, Cobb would not go down. Shingo hit a pumping bomber and a last of the dragon for the win. This was two heavyweights in a fight. It felt like a fight. It felt like a statement being made by Jeff Cobb, even in defeat. Shingo is fantastic. I think Shingo is going to be a top three player in New Japan in a year's time, if not sooner, in a year's time. I believe that. He's too good not to be. But this gets my vote for second best match of the night before the main event. This was great stuff. Do not skip over this match. If you are wondering, what should I watch? What should I skip? Do not skip this match. We had Evil against Sonata in what I believe was the only non-title match of the entire card. Former partners turn rivals. I've not been impressed by a lot of Evil matches since the heel turn. I thought this was okay. You had the usual Bullet Club shenanigans, stuff with Dick Togo at ringside. But Togo, I have to say, Togo took one of the most hilariously ridiculous bumps that I have ever seen in this match, which I will get to here in a second. Sonata tried to moonsault off the apron to the floor. Evil sidestepped it, and he whipped Sonata into the barricade, which wiped out the ring announcer who was sitting on the other side of the guardrail. Evil and Togo set up a table outside the ring that would come into play a little bit later. A few minutes later, Evil again sends Sonata into the guardrail, and they had just barely gotten the poor ring announcer back up before he gets knocked down again. This guy's got like a table on top of him now. Why does Evil hate this man? He's always knocking down the ring announcer. What did he ever do to this guy? What, he take his parking space or something? Because he clearly has it out for this guy. Sonata hit a backbreaker, went for a moonsault, but Evil rolled away and Sonata landed on his feet. Evil threw Sonata into the referee, who took a bump, and that was Dick Togo's cue to jump in. He attacked Sonata. Evil and Togo hit a magic killer, which was Evil and Sonata's old tag team finisher when they were partners. Togo teased a senton bomb. Sonata shoved Evil into the ropes, which crotched Togo, who fell to the floor. So Sonata tried for the moonsault later, but Evil got his knees up. Togo jumped up on the apron. Sonata shoved Evil into Togo, and Dick Togo took the most ridiculous bump off the apron down through the table. This man was determined to break that damn table no matter what. Because you know those Japanese tables. I mean, they're not so easy to break. But it's funny because, like, Evil, he got shoved into him. But really, Evil barely touched him. And Togo, he jumped. He leapt off the apron and basically delivered an elbow drop to the table. There was some kind of invisible man laying on the table. He jumped high into the air, fell through elbow first, and the table did hit. It was a great looking bump. Aside from the ridiculous knock off the apron, the table exploded upon impact. So he achieved what he wanted to achieve. Sonata blocked Everything is Evil, blocked a low blow, then Sonata hit Everything is Evil himself, followed by a pop-up TKTO and a moonsault for the win. This was in a tough spot, because this was coming after that great match with Shingo and Jeff Cobb. It just never rose to the level, to me anyway, of like that big-time feel for a grudge match that you would be looking for. It wasn't a bad match. It just wasn't, it didn't have that big match feel that you would hope for here on a Tokyo Dome show. But it was an important win for Sonata for reasons that became clear after the main event was over. In the co-main, we had Taiji Ishimori against Hiromu Takahashi for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title, a title held by the likes of Owen Hart and Jushin Thunder Liger, Chris Benoit as Pegasus Kid, Prince Devitt, Kenny Omega, among many, many other names that you would recognize. Takahashi went for a sunset bomb from the apron. This was in the first minute and a half of the match. Ishimori, though, did a backflip, landed on his feet. Takahashi powerbombed him onto the edge of the apron. So as he's writhing around in pain, selling this thing big, all of a sudden Hiromu starts to walk up the long rampway like he's leaving, which reminded me of a spot that I saw many years ago in a match. I think it was Inoki and Hogan, actually, back in 93. But here goes Hiromu walking way up the ramp. Then he stops, turns around, and he begins his sprint back down to the ring, which gave Ishimori plenty of time. You talk about telegraphing a move. He gave him plenty of time to get ready for what was coming. And even still, it looked like they messed the timing up a little bit. I think the idea was Hiromu was going for a shotgun dropkick, but Ishimori was going to kind of catch him and drop him like for like a powerbomb. They kind of did that. It was a little anticlimactic. Ishimori hit a series of forearm strikes about 15 minutes in. They teased a ref stoppage. He just kept hammering and hammering away. And they wanted you to believe that, you know, if Hiromu wasn't going to fight back, that the referee might call it. Ishimori used the La Mystica to set up the yes lock. And he applied the hold right in the center of the ring, but Hiromu fought his way to the ropes for the rope break. Hiromu fought back, hit a lariat, hit a DVD into the exposed turnbuckle that had been exposed a little bit earlier on. And he hit the time bomb, but Ishimori kicked out. About a minute later, he connected with the time bomb and pinned him to win the championship. This was a sprint right out of the gate. Excellent match. And as I watch Hiromu these days in these matches, when you consider how badly he was injured when he broke his neck and how long he was out for, and there was a lot of silence about his condition and when or if he would even be back in the ring, I'm just glad to see him back in the ring, doing what he does best. Hasn't missed a step. But now he's the champion. The main event was the new IWGP Heavyweight and Intercontinental Champion, Kota Ibushi, defending both belts against the man who defeated him for the G1 Climax briefcase, Switchblade Jay White. His first Tokyo Dome main event. This was Ibushi's third. It's not that I think Jay White is bad. Some people think, oh, why do you hate Jay White? It's not that I hate Jay White. I think Jay White is one of the best heels in the business. I think he's very good. I just really did not want to see Kota Ibushi as a 24-hour transitional champion. And I was very nervous that that is what we were going to see. So they rolled to the floor early. Ghetto tried to get involved, as he always does. Ibushi hit him in the ribs. And as they climbed back inside, Jay White hit a DDT to regain the upper hand. White threw Ibushi outside, then hit a back suplex onto the apron. This is a long match. This is a very long match. Skip ahead about 25 minutes in here. Ibushi hits the Bomae for a near fall. And Jay White, he tried for a pin with his feet on the ropes. And the significance of that, besides the fact that he's a heel, and you would expect him to do stuff like that, that is how he won the briefcase from Ibushi at Power Struggle back in November, with his feet on the ropes. But this time Red Shoes caught it. He broke the count. Jay White hit some kicks to the face, which Ibushi no-sold as he went into his murderous trance. This is one of the things I love about Ibushi. Not everybody is a fan of, because they think sometimes he doesn't sell, you know, the big moves or, whatever your reasoning is, right? I'm a big fan of him, a big fan of his work, and one of the things I love is when he goes into this murderous trance, he gets that blank look on his face, and he legitimately looks terrifying. And that's, you know, it's not hard to look at him when he's in that state and believe, oh shit, bad things are about to happen. And this is not a man to be fucked with when he gets that look in his eyes. Even Ghetto is outside the ring yelling at Jay White, trying to advise him. Don't tease him. It's like, don't poke the bear. And he just stands there and he's taking all of these shots, and just the look on his face, it just doesn't change. Until finally he fights back. He dropped Jay White with one palm strike. Jay White is crawling into the corner, trying to just cover up and shield himself. And Ibushi is just kicking him and striking him. And then he's standing in the middle of the ring and he's demanding that Jay White hit him. He's going to give him a free shot. And White obliged. Ibushi no-sold. Dropped him again. So now Jay White he lays down on his back. He's telling Ibushi, just pin me. Just pin me. Cover me and pin me. Hook my leg and pin me. And Ibushi, of course, he's not going to do that. So he's smacking him around. And Red Shoes is trying to pull off Ibushi. And in doing so, Ibushi shoves Red Shoes down, which allows Jay White to hit a low blow. About 35 minutes into this, Jay White hit a pair of deadlift Germans. They fought onto the apron. Jay White teased a German on the apron. Ibushi blocked, hit a high kick. And from inside the ring, stood on the middle rope, gave Jay White a German suplex from the apron back into the ring. Last ride by Ibushi for a near fall. He called for the Kamigoye. White blocked, dropped Ibushi right on top of his head with a sleeper suplex, hit a second sleeper suplex, and then a regal suplex for a near fall. White called for the Blade Runner. Ibushi used a backslide to set up the Kamigoye. He connected, but Jay White kicked out at two. Ibushi couldn't believe it. So he hit a Phoenix, beautiful Phoenix Splash by Kota Ibushi. Ghetto pulled Red Shoes out of the ring right before he could count the winning fall. I think I even heard Chris Charlton on commentary let out a goddamn. How often do you hear Chris Charlton curse on commentary? Not very often. Not very often. They got even the mild-mannered Chris Charlton to get very, very animated, very upset about what Ghetto was doing here. So Ghetto jumped in with brass knucks. Ibushi blocked the shot, hit a Kamigoye. That took care of Ghetto. And Ibushi revived the referee outside the ring and brought him back in like the gentleman that he is when he is not in his murderous trance. And as Ibushi went to go back over to Jay White, White popped up, hit a Blade Runner, which Ibushi barely kicked out of. So now we're in the closing stretch. Ibushi's got the wrists. He's got double wrist control. And they're trading kicks. Ibushi hits a V-trigger. Tries for a Kamigoye. White reverses into a Blade Runner attempt. Ibushi escapes. Hits a high kick. Kamigoye to the back of the head. Kamigoye to the face. And with that, Kota Ibushi outlasts Jay White to retain both of his titles. He avenges his loss at Power Struggle. Ibushi is the man. And I could not be happier. And Jay White was great in the post-match here. He's laying there. Now, again, this guy got kneed in the back of the head. He got kneed in the face. Doesn't know where he is. But they have this great camera shot. You don't have 15,000 camera cuts to make you sick. They've got one great camera shot. You see the belts laying on the mat. You see Jay White. He's looking up. He's laying there looking up at the belts. And he starts clawing at the belts. Then he's clawing at Ibushi and Ibushi's hair with whatever little bit of energy he's got left as he's being pulled away. Sonata walks to the ring. He's in a suit after his victory earlier over Evil. And he challenges Kota Ibushi to a match in the future, which Ibushi accepts. And they shook hands. And that was it. Sonata left. And Ibushi walked around ringside. He was bowing to people. He bowed to Jushin Liger, who was sitting on commentary. He bowed to the English announcers, Kevin Kelly, Rocky Romero, Chris Charlton. They stood up to applaud. At 48 minutes and 5 seconds, this was the longest match not only in Wrestle Kingdom history, but according to Chris Samsa, the longest match in Tokyo Dome history. An excellent main event that I think could have benefited from being tightened up by about 10 to 15 minutes. I don't think it had to be that long. But I was never bored. Great drama down the stretch. Drama because I really did think they were going to switch the titles. And I was very happy that they did not. But this was an excellent main event. In the post-show press session, Ibushi announced that he wants to unify the IWGP Heavyweight and Intercontinental titles. He called the heavyweight title the strongest belt there is, and the Intercontinental belt the greatest belt that there is. And he said he wants the unified title to be both the strongest and the greatest. I would rather see the title split, not unified. You know, I think it's a great visual seeing him standing there holding both belts, but I don't think there's any shortage of talent in that company who could be challenging for the white belt. I mean, remember, it was only a few years ago, Wrestle Kingdom 8, when Shinsuke Nakamura held the Intercontinental title, that the fans voted. They had a fan vote. And the fans voted for the IC title match to headline Wrestle Kingdom that year over the IWGP title match. That's how prestigious it was. Now, you could say, well, that was more because of Nakamura and just the star power in that particular match, or Tanahashi. And yeah, that had something to do with it too. But they voted that match in. I mean, the fans voted Okada and Naito out of the Wrestle Kingdom main event in favor of the IC title match. So that belt has been prestigious before. It can be again on its own. Don't unify the belts. Just vacate it and hold a tournament for it. Now, I know they have a lot of tournaments throughout the year in New Japan. If they don't want to add another one, maybe for 1 year, the New Japan Cup winner. Instead of getting a shot and challenging for the IWGP title, maybe the winner of the New Japan Cup wins the Intercontinental title. It's just an idea. But also in that post-show press area... Jay White was sitting there with the microphone looking like a defeated man. He had a breakdown. This guy had a nervous breakdown. He appeared to quit the promotion. He said, maybe my time would be better spent someplace else. I don't want to do this anymore. If this is all that it's for, I'm not going to do this anymore. He ran the entire gamut of emotions. It looked like he went through all five stages of grief in about 20 minutes. He was sad, he was angry, he was laughing, he was sad again, he was crying, he was angry. Talked about all the sacrifices that he's made. He hasn't seen his parents in years. He moved away to come to Japan to be at the top of the mountain in New Japan. Maybe it's just not worth it anymore. He said, look, contractually, they want me at New Year Dash the next day. I'll be there, I'll be at New Year Dash, but after that, I'm done. And that sounded like the setup for a big angle at New Year Dash, which brings us to New Year Dash, which took place this morning from Tokyo Dome City Hall. And there was no big angle. Nothing with Jay White or anybody else. You know, some years they shoot this big dramatic angle, and this was not one of those years. There were a few teases for some future programs, but otherwise, Jay White took the losing fall in the match with Okada, Yano, Goto, Ishii, and Yoshihashi, beating Jay White, Evil, Bad Luck Fale, Yujiro, and Chase Owens. And in the main event, it was Naito, Sanada, Shingo, Hiromu, and Bushi, beating Kota Ibushi, Tanahashi, Rocky Romero, Sho, and Master Wato. And we already know Ibushi and Sanada is one direction that they're going in. The other they teased here was Tanahashi and Shingo, which sounds like a really fun match. And that was it, as far as the key stuff from New Year Dash is concerned. That's your Wrestle Kingdom week. I enjoyed it very much. I see that Tokyo could be headed back to some kind of COVID lockdown soon. Cases there apparently are rising, so who knows how that might affect New Japan shows going forward. It completely wrecked the first, half of the year for New Japan. I mean, it wrecked everything, right? COVID wrecked everything for everybody. But New Japan was very strict last year at the start of the pandemic. They took it very seriously. It was months before they hosted another show. Hopefully they can avoid that again. I mean, come on, Jon Moxley's got a title to defend. It's been a year. And Ibushi, long may he reign. It's going to be a competition for me to see which reign I enjoy more this year. Roman Reigns or Kota Ibushi. Or Kenny Omega. Can't leave him out. They could have some fun with the interpromotional stuff with him. So I think Omega could have a lot of fun stuff on tap. Hey, look, maybe Omega Ibushi is not such a far-fetched idea after all. I said a few weeks ago, I said, man, can you imagine? You know, we get some kind of working relationship going here in the next 6 months. And if Ibushi were to win the championship and Kenny's the champion in his promotion, maybe you can get something going between the two of them. I'm just saying, it may not be as far-fetched as it seemed a few months ago. We'll see. I will see you tonight for the AEW New Year Smash review, and this Sunday for episode 686 of The Sound Off. Until then, take care, guys.